Well, hello, everybody. This is Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Ralph Pointer What's Happening show, and tonight's event will feature the Ralph Pointer discussions on the recent developments of the latest police incidents involving black people in America at the hand of their murder, at the hand of the police. Another issue will be the demand for statistics regarding SNCC. We will also be insisting on an investigation of not just how many police were actually indicted, but how many were actually convicted, and of those convicted, how many actually served time. In addition, we will be featuring the discussion around the Million Mothers March, and we will be discussing that event, which is to take place this Saturday, May 9th, to bring before the president the whole issue of mothers whose sons and daughters were victims of police violence. I believe this is sponsored by an organization called Stolen Lives. And, of course, we will be doing our usual updates on the fate of Brother Reverend Pinckney, and of Amia Abu Jamal. So we are asking for you to call in and feel free to join us in this episode. Thank you. At this point, we're going to give you a little bit more of our theme while we prepare for the next speaker. As we said, we are waiting for our first guest speaker, Mr. Ralph Pointer. Mr. Pointer, are you there? Okay, since we have not, our guest speaker apparently has not been able to call in, we're going to start off the program tonight by giving you some updates on the latest no shopping until Black Lives Matter statistics that might be of interest to you. According to population and buying power statistics, the people in New York State generate a certain amount of income based on their buying power. And it's interesting to note that in New York City, where we have a population of 3.8 million in terms of blacks, the data shows that our buying power is out of all proportion to our representation within the population. For every dollar that is spent in New York State, it is clear that 43% of every dollar is based on the fundings and the purchasing power of black people. Therefore, for every dollar spent for New York State, 43 cents out of that dollar is a black person spending. And with that kind of buying power, what we are saying is if we start to withhold our buying with this direction, we would be able to have some leverage in terms of what we are trying to do. So with that in mind, we are going to switch to our next caller. Thank you. Please hold. Yes, I'm on the board, but I don't see any calls in. I'm trying to reach Ralph, and his line is busy. That tells me he's trying to call in. And the music.
Okay, well, let me see what we get with the board. Hold on.
Okay.
You want to stay on the line? Hold on.
Give it to me again, Mary.
Okay. It's 770. I think it's 859. Hold on, you repeat this text. Now, it's a teenager. I do want to hook up. I gave you that phone.
Mary, the show should be on now, so just give me your number. I'm getting stressed.
770-879-5163.
Okay, so I'll look and see if that number comes up. Okay, thank you.
I'm gonna take a look at what they got going on right now.
Okay, thank you. Hello? Again, sorry for the technical difficulties. We're having problems with our switchboard, getting our callers in, and we're waiting for our host, Mr. Pointer. Mr. Pointer, if you're there, would you please recognize the number? It's 347-857-3293. Anyone wishing to call in? 347-857-3293. Okay, once again, we're waiting for our host, Mr. Pointer. Mr. Pointer, we're trying to connect you now. Mr. Pointer. Hello? Yes. This is Betty Davis, the facilitator. We can hear you now. We can hear you now.
You can hear me?
Yes.
Right.
Thank you.
Hello.
Okay, I have to say to all of our guests, your numbers are not
Betty.
Showing up on our... Hello, can you hear
me? Betty.
Yes.
Okay. I'm on. I was on four or five times. Anyway, let us begin again.
The switchboard is not lighting up. So, Mr. Pointer, if you would ask those who can hear us and are on board, if they would just give us a shout out and identify that they can hear the broadcast. Anyone
yes, okay.
is intending to
hear
tonight. All right.
I can.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I can.
I'm on.
I can.
Can you hear me well?
Yes, I can hear you.
I can hear you.
Okay.
Larry,
okay. Betty. Hello, Betty.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Let us begin again.
What has happened, Ralph, is the switchboard is not showing the callers for whatever reason.
Okay.
Okay, so you got it. Let's go with this.
All righty. Tuesday, May 5th, 2015. And let me say again, welcome, brothers and sisters. as many as Ralph Schulman used to say, and as Ward Churchill said, welcome, my family. This evening, we're going to talk about snake oil salesmen and U.S. democracy. I say they are the same, U.S. democracy and snake oil salesmen. And I'm talking about the most recent celebration of the people of Baltimore with the pronouncements of the prosecutor. Now, again, we are in the position that hoping that the words said by the prosecutor has some meaning. The prosecutor says she is indicting all officers involved in the killing of a young man who dared stare at an officer and run away. And one of the things that I would ask that people start paying attention to is not only the number of policemen who are not indicted for killing people of color on the street, not only the number of policemen after indicted are found not guilty, but the very minuscule number of policemen who are indicted, found guilty, and sentenced to follow up to see if any of the sentences are ever carried out. And I tell you, the answer is zero, zilch, none, de nada. It does not happen. If they're sentenced to five for 5 years in 5 minutes, there's a reason that the courts find to allow them to leave the prison system. And I even remember one particular issue was that the courts had no place to put this particular officer because he was so bad in terms of killing people, they didn't have a prison that had black people in it that they felt he would be safe in. And so he was excused. And the drumbeat goes on and on. Now, I don't know if the listeners understand or know about the University of Syracuse Law School has taken a case before one of the departments of the UN saying that how is it that all of these courts around the world are accusing nations, governments, of a crime spree against people, and the United States has not been drawn into one of these courts. And I'm asking the University of Syracuse, that has a law school that's interested in this issue, to also go to their computers and check out the non-sentence of the sentencing of policemen who kill people of color. Step one. Let's go to the next point. Investigation of the reality of the statistics concerning the above. Step two, to have people and to do an in-depth investigation of that. Capitalism and the issue of the drought out west. One of the most amazing things when people talked in the early years about capitalism and the destructive power of capitalism, we're seeing its effect right now in California. There is a drought. Water is scarce. Yet the large corporate farmers are planting plants that require more water. They're taking more water out of the underground water, and the land is sinking 1 foot a year. Someone should call in on that investigation. The land is sinking, and they're still pumping water out, and the rich are still getting richer, destroying the land for the benefit of the few. And when one of the communities said they're going to increase the price of water, they were beaten in court. They were told that they couldn't increase the price of water. There we go for capitalism. And somebody's going to come in and talk about the Million Mothers March. Stolen lives. You know, they're going to Washington to talk about the number of children. The mothers are going to talk about the number of children who were stolen by being killed by officials of the state, called police, which we know is the Army of Occupation. And Larry Pinckney, I hope, is going to give us an update on the status of Reverend Pinckney. I heard him on his blog show Sunday, and he spoke from prison. And so now, for those who you have aboard at all, Betty, anyone who can chime in on this.
Larry Pinckney should be next.
Yes, Larry, I'm here. Can you hear me? Go ahead.
I can hear you. Go ahead, loud and clear.
All right. Well, first of all, Sister Betty Davis, Brother Ralph Pointer, Sister Lynn Stewart, once again, I thank all of you. Let me be very specific and very succinct. The bottom line is that for any lives to matter, and I repeat, for any lives to matter, black lives must matter. Now, having said that, Reverend Edward Pinckney still, of course, languishes in the Lakeland prison facility in Coldwater, Michigan, because he dared to stand up to the corporate blood-sucking, avaricious corporation of Whirlpool. That's right, Whirlpool. I want everyone to remember to please boycott all of Whirlpool Corporation appliances, and that includes their subsidiaries, like Amana, for example. And we must understand, as Sister Betty had said earlier in the broadcast, that our dollars matter as well as our lives. So please, let's understand that. Ralph, it was extremely interesting that you mentioned the university, Syracuse University, specifically the College of Law, because in April of 2011, I repeat, in April of 2011, I was a guest speaker and panelist at the University of Syracuse, or Syracuse University College of Law, where I spoke about, among other things, the need for all of us to understand that this is a world issue. We must take our case to the world, as Brother Malcolm X said. Now, Reverend Edward Pinckney, and I, you know, just go to Black Activists Writers Guild. That's blackactivistswg.org. Put in Syracuse University, and you will see what I have to say in April of 2011, all right, at the College of Law, Syracuse University. The point is that Reverend Pinckney has also said in his latest statement has been that we must do a criminal, I repeat, criminal investigation of those who have imprisoned him and who are oppressing poor people, black, white, brown, red, and yellow, with a heavy emphasis upon black and brown. In this case, with respect to Benton Harbor, Michigan, or as I call it, and as Nina Simone said, Mississippi Goddamn, because it's Benton Harbor, Mississippi. That's what we're really dealing with. And we have to understand that a criminal investigation needs to be carried out against all of the propagators of this injustice. And that includes the Judge Sherrod, that includes the so-called prosecutor, or should I say persecutor, Sepik. His last name is Sepik, S-E-P-I-C. I often say septic, like a septic tank. But we have to understand that Reverend Pinckney is calling for this investigation, not just for himself, but on behalf of all people, and especially the black and brown people who are being oppressed. So I'm going to end here right now. I want to thank you, Brother Ralph, you, Sister Betty Davis, and our beloved Sister Lynn Stewart. Thank you for allowing me these minutes.
Thanks again, Larry. But I would like to add to that, Reverend Pinckney called, he is in jail, and one of the reasons why he is in jail, and I want everybody to understand that, is because he has not been terrorized or subjugated to fear by the terror of the state. This is his second time in jail. And his first time, he went to jail for quoting Deuteronomy to the judge, and he was put in jail for threatening a judge. And I didn't hear any of the Christian organizations stepping up to support him. And we have Christian organizations across the country, but not for Reverend Pinckney. But I was out in Ferguson, and the young people there are terrorized and traumatized. I spoke with the young man who was beside the young man who was shot in the back as he tried to run up a few steps. He's traumatized. He's terrorized. But when they went after Reverend Pinckney, they found the warrior. He's fighting against Whirlpool, and he has the answer. Boycott, that's an answer. He has another answer. Recall. Recall all of those petitions who say one thing and do another. Therefore, he's a dangerous individual to this U.S. capitalism that they call democracy, and that is why he's in jail. Let us move on. If anybody has any issue on what Ms. Davis has just talked about, capitalism and the issue of the drought out west, Million Mothers March, we've got to get statistics on that, an update on Mumia. Betty, would you switch to the switchboard and allow those to come in?
Yes, okay. I think our sister, Juanita Ward, is on the mic. I'm calling Juanita Young, 1957.
Hello, this is Andre Pinnock Smith. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, I'm Juanita. Miss Young has laryngitis tonight, so she asked me to call. I'm another mother who is on the board of Mothers Cry for Justice. And we wanted to let New York know that we're chartering a bus. Mothers Cry for Justice is chartering a bus to Washington, D.C. Saturday to take supporters who want to join the mothers and other family members of people killed by police. And this will be Saturday, May 9th. We will gather. This is for to transport people who'd like to participate in the Million Moms March for Justice in Washington. The bus will depart from the New York State Office Building located at 125th and Adam Clayton Powell Jr. Boulevard at 5:30 a.m. And it's on a first-come, first-served basis. There are no reservations. It will return to New York from D.C. about 8 p.m., and the cost of the round trip is $25.
Okie doke. Thank you so much for that. And we should all know that those who talk about stolen lives, that is the organization that works to make us all aware of just how many young people who've been killed under outrageous circumstances throughout the country. And they have a magazine called Stolen Lives, and I swear to you, it is swollen from a small magazine to almost the size of a New York City telephone book. The numbers are increasing hourly, not daily, but hourly, and they are having a protest. And would you say one more time when the bus leaves, where it's going to leave from, and the cost?
Yes, the bus leaves from Harlem Saturday, this coming Saturday, May 9th. It will leave at 5:30 a.m. sharp, and it will return to New York City.
From where?
About 8
from where in Harlem?
From Harlem at one in front of the State Office Building at 125th Street and Adam Clayton Powell Jr. Boulevard. And that's at 5:30 a.m., and the cost of the round trip is $25. And we're asking New York to stand with the mothers demanding justice by coming to Washington or even by sponsoring a mother for a weekend of demanding justice. So we need your help because we're working hard to make sure that we will get the word out and let the – this is one of the – We will start one of the first lobbying campaigns in Washington as a result of this march. And so
okay.
We need as many New Yorkers to come stand with us as possible.
Thank you so very much. And I'd like to have... Thank you. And if you can go, please do go, because they raised the issue of stolen lives many years ago, and now the nation is caught up to them, we think, in recognizing stolen lives. And so let's support those who have had success and have been doing this for a long time. Could we have an update on Mumia Abu-Jamal? Hello? Anybody going to call in on Mumia?
I'm here on Mumia. Okay. If you would like me to be, I can speak on Mumia.
Okay, Lynn Stewart is going to give us an update on Mumia. Hello?
Hi, Mumia has made some progress, but he's still in dire state. But I think the most important progress that has been made is that doctors, the people that volunteered and have taken over his medical care only from the outside, these are doctors that are on the media side as opposed to the doctors who are on the prison side. Whoever is selling those papers, I would appreciate it if you would stop it because I can hardly hear myself. I want to say that Mumia's great victory this week is because doctors, upon presenting their findings to the prison authorities, suddenly he was moved to the infirmary. Suddenly they did the biopsy of his skin to find out whether or not this is a cancer, which the outside doctors have suggested it may be.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
The Ralph line has suddenly gone mute. Can I suggest that we take another caller while she is reconnected? I did not disconnect her, but we do have a caller, 914-6046. 914-6046. Your mic is open.
Yes, this is Sunday Al-Sadiq from Austin, New York, and greetings to everybody there.
Greetings.
Also,
thank you for calling, Cynthia.
Okay, yes. I'm still going through the therapy. But anyway, I wanted to give a shout-out for Seth Hayes because Seth Hayes is another victim that's up in prison that's not getting any medical attention at all. And we could probably reach him by checking out his Jericho page. And I heard from Abdul Majid. He wants people to start writing more letters for support for his parole, which has been extended for, I think, another 2 weeks. And the last thing I want to be short on is that I got a call from Attica today from Daoud Rahman. Now, Herman Ferguson had asked me to check these brothers many years ago, and I went to see Shuaib Abdul-Rahim, who's out of prison now. These brothers have done 42 years in prison, and I'm trying to put together a petition for them to, when Ralph and you guys have your thing at the school, where is that in New York, 26th Street?
Yes.
Yeah. So I just want to bring that petition with me for Daoud and Saleh Abdullah because these two brothers were part of the Bushwick standoff when they brought in a tank to take them out of the gun shop. It's called Bushwick 4, and one brother was let out years ago that he passed away, but when people read the article, this is before SWAT, that the police were actually killed another police officer in a, firefight, what they call it,
That's what they call it, a firefight. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a firefight where the cop was shot in the back of the head, and Solid, these guys were in a gun shop, trying to put up the white witnesses to the police to say, don't shoot us, they're going to let them out, and the police kept shooting anyway. So I want to bring that petition down, and a lot of people haven't heard of the case, and you guys are in a position to distribute the petition.
Yes,
more
well,
yes.
As you may or may not know, since Lynn has been out, and I will shamefully or unashamedly say that I spent an awful lot of time working on the freedom of Lynn Stewart, and now that time is to be dedicated and increased to work on behalf of so many of our political prisoners, as you have stated, that people are unaware of. And
yes.
I'm going to work with the Black is Back Uhuru Association,
O'Malley
Yashitella, and we're going to put out those names and flyers and calendars, and we're going to do the job that needs be done for the bravest among us.
Yeah,
those
Rob, I heard about your trip to, was it Harrisburg? I think Suzanne was telling me about it.
Yes, on behalf of Mumia.
Very good, yes.
Yes, we have so much work to do,
yes.
And we have to begin concentrating on our business. And our business is not Hillary Clinton. Our business is not the Democratic or Republican Party. Our business is our brothers and sisters who have given so much to support us, and shamefully, we have given so little to support them. And I want to congratulate our Puerto Rican brothers and sisters who have all of their political prisoners out, except Oscar Lopez Rivera, and there's a demonstration on the 30th of May to support Oscar, and I say the reason why Puerto Rican political prisoners are out is because people understood the necessity for any politician who was running in a Puerto Rican community, if they didn't support their political prisoners, they may as well not run. We have to duplicate that. As I have said, we have all the answers. We know what is successful. All we have to do is look.
Yes,
we see Reverend Pinckney had the answer in terms of boycott. That's successful. He had the answer in terms of recall petition, recall of the politicians who lie, and they made him a political prisoner. And we are still asleep.
Wow, we got a established Negro class, brother, that goes against people like Rap Brown, who was innocent, and he's sick. And what happened to the brother out in Michigan? You know, you had this black middle class stand up and demand that he go to jail. So you are right. We got to step it up, brother.
Yes, and we have
back
to.
On. Bro.
All right, good. Great seeing you, Lynn. Talking to you. Hope to see
Hi.
You soon. Okay.
Okay. To see all you right, soon.
Freelance.
Okay, we have, like I say, we're going through technical difficulties, but stick with us. It's going to get better, and we will. Thank you, Sundiata. We will have Lynn Stewart come in and finish up her report. Go ahead, Lynn.
Right. Ralph, I would like to suggest after Sister Lynn Stewart that we have the caller 727-4503. After Lynn Stewart. Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead, Lynn. Hello.
Hi. I got cut off before, but I'll be very brief. I just asked people to compare the DA of Baltimore, Maryland, who promised us that she is going to go to the mat with these cops. She's going to take them to court. She's going to have a trial that will be transparent. We will hold her to that standard. And compare her to the DA in Berens County, Michigan, who had the audacity to lock up the Reverend Pinckney. There is power in this country, and we just have to make sure we bend it to our will. I just want to end by reminding people that along with the Million Mother March, which is an extremely important event, there is also the conference this weekend, which goes on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
United National Anti-War Coalition, yes? There are still wars, there are still soldiers in Iraq, there are still soldiers in Afghanistan, and they may soon be in Iran, and they may soon be in Somalia, and they certainly decimated Libya. And the United Anti-War Coalition is the last anti-war coalition standing, and they are having their conference in Secaucus, New Jersey, 30 minutes from New York City, and it is going to be held at the Empire Meadows Clarion Hotel, and on Sunday for their closing, notwithstanding that it's Mother's Day, and I know everybody's got a better place to be maybe, but they are having a stellar closing in which both Cynthia McKinney and Ramsey Clark are participating, and I know it will be extremely worthwhile. So I just wanted to alert people to the UNAC conference once again, Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday in Secaucus, New Jersey.
Would you give us those dates? And I would like to remind people that Sister Lynn will be one of the speakers on one of those days out there in Secaucus. Will you give us the dates again, Lynn?
Yes, the dates are May 8th through 10th, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And it's in the Empire Meadows Clarion Hotel, Secaucus, New Jersey, which is right across from New York. It's a half hour from New York. And, yes, thanks for reminding me, Ralph. I am going to be on a panel, not surprisingly, about political prisoners, of which I know from my own personal experience. And so if you can get out to that, that would also be a worthwhile way to spend this weekend coming up. Thank you very much, Ralph. Bye now.
Okay. Thanks again. And, Betty, go ahead with your next caller.
Well, I was suggesting 727-4503. Are you still on? If so, we would like to hear from you. You give us about 2 minutes of your time. 727-4503. Okay, we will move on. 770-5163. 770-5163. We have
well,
your mic
evening.
Open.
Yes, thank you, Betty. And hello, Rep. Porner. This is Mary Neal, Director of Assistance to the Incarcerated Mentally Ill. I do not know how many people are aware of this or who might have further information about it, but I was informed that Freddie Gray, the young man who was murdered in Baltimore, Maryland, rode the short bus to school as a younger person. I think that he died in his early 20s when he was killed by police, but I was told that he had delayed learning abilities. And so I just want to point out to everybody once again that people who have developmental delays or mental illness or any number of so-called diseases that fall under that category, oftentimes self-medicate with marijuana and other street drugs because they may have been medicated as children and they may have problems and they self-medicate. You know, with Freddie Gray, police or someone released a long list of arrests that he had suffered. And they were basically all of them were marijuana-related arrests, him buying marijuana or him selling marijuana. Usually people who don't have jobs and they use marijuana, they also will sell marijuana to support their own habit. So I want you to know that Assistance to the Incarcerated Mentally Ill is concerned about people who are often killed, often killed, and also arrested and more or less kidnapped for prison profits because eugenics is happening right now today. And I learned so much from all of you. I'm so glad to welcome you here to Human Rights Demand. And I want you to know that we had technical difficulty getting started. Our board was jet black, it was impossible to see any numbers on the board or anything else. I corresponded with Blog Talk Radio, and we got it straight. But I think that these things are simply COINTELPRO, old-fashioned COINTELPRO, who do not appreciate us getting together to discuss the issues and offer solutions, like Ralph Porter's show, What's Happening. So carry on. You're making a great impact. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Mary Neal. And as you know, that I consider you as one of the leaders who was working with Reverend Pinckney, and we're getting some traction on the ground rather than spinning our wheels over the years, because I hear the people who Reverend Pinckney has organized with and brought together into this feeling, this growing surge of people around the country are saying no more. Betty, is there, are you going to another caller?
Yes, we have 917-8672. 917-8672. And I would remind you that we have a couple of topics on the agenda tonight, the one dealing with the issue of capitalism and drought out west, and the issue of the snake oil salesman U.S. democracy issues. So, 8672, you're live.
Yes, yes, hello.
Hello.
Yes, hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear.
Oh, yes. I was looking at the indictment of the police involved in the murder of Freddie Gray. And what I've noticed is that, and maybe this is a tactic, but I think that before giving any authority at any district attorney's office the benefit of the doubt, I think that we have to look at the fact that nowhere in that indictment was the police accused of actually strangling Freddie Gray to death. Now, the injuries that had been publicized that he had suffered were that his spinal cord in his neck was completely severed and that his larynx was crushed. Now, the only way that you can sustain those injuries is through strangulation. That is an extreme degree of pressure on the larynx and the stretching of the spinal cord to the point where it tears. That is what those police, acting in concert, did with Freddie Gray. And there's also a conspiracy after the fact, because I haven't seen anything where any of the cops told, even tried to get themselves out of it by talking about what the other cops did. So they have to be looked at as having acted in concert and conspired, at least after the fact, to cover up that there was a murder. Now, the indictment only says things like they didn't put him in a safety belt and they didn't call medics when he said that he was having trouble with his asthma. And that's, in a way, a bunch of facts which don't fully support the idea that they deliberately and directly strangled him to death. It makes it sound more like a negligence than, and it trivializes what those police did. So it sounds to me as if they're trying to indict him on the one hand in order to quiet down the street, and at the same time they're trying to have it both ways and eventually set it up so that all of those cops are, it looks like, are going to get off. So people should really keep up the struggle. I think that they have to come up with a quick indictment, because the Washington Post had run a story that the wounds, the crushed larynx and the severed spinal cord, were self-inflicted, which are impossible. It's impossible. And even some very conservative people like Carly Fiorina, who's running for the Republican nomination for president, and who's known as a sort of a right-wing loose cannon within the industrial finance world, said on TV that those wounds could not have been inflicted, self-inflicted. So there's a clear set of facts of an actual murder, and the Washington Post ran a story that everyone said was going to infuriate people even more. So I think they have to come up with this indictment very quickly so that they could turn what was going to be an angry protest march into what's being called a victory march. Now, I hope it really turns out to be a victory. I'm glad that there was an indictment at all, which is very unusual. But I think that we have to keep the powder dry, and that we have to, until this prosecution goes all the way. I mean, imagine if it were the other way around. Imagine if five people had somebody else in there, had kidnapped, let's say, because this guy was kidnapped. Freddie Gray was not accused of committing any crime or even circumstances that mentioned probable cause. Either the DA had to admit that. So he was basically kidnapped. Now imagine if five people had kidnapped somebody and they weren't cops. And it turns out that this person died of wounds that could only have been inflicted by deliberate strangulation. And all of them said, "No, oh, we don't know what happened here. I don't know, we put him in the truck, and when we took him out, he was in bad shape." That would not be accepted from anyone. They'd be indicted for acting in concert in a murder. And that is not the kind of indictment that's actually been written and promulgated. So
thank you so much, Joe. I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to be our expert on this case, because I didn't read the indictment like most other people. You have shed so much light on this that I'm going to have to ask you to come back next week and give us more. And one of the facts that I did observe was that there was a camera that the police confiscated. And when they asked the store owner what was on the camera, the store owner, who is also terrorized, said he didn't look at the video on the camera. And so that's another piece of evidence that we have to pay attention to.
Also, there was a camera in the van that was supposed to transport these prisoners into custody, and the police say that camera did not function during that trip during which the strangulation took place. Somehow that camera went out of order suddenly.
So
Ralph, can I add a point? Ralph, can I add a point? This is Dick. Can I add a point?
Yes, go ahead.
Dick Minerly, okay. I'm just looking at it from a broader perspective. I think we can see from the media handling of this that we're all being set up, you know, to make a victory where there will ultimately not really be a true victory. The true victory would include reaching into the police department and getting the people who train these officers and finding out what they've done wrong, too, and indicting the entire system of the Baltimore Police Department. And all we hear is, oh, there are a lot of good cops and all of that. Well, that's maybe true, but the people who are training them are not preventing these things from... Yeah, the people who are training them are not preventing these things from happening.
Well, I would say, let me add one more thing. Let us always remember, they are not police departments, they are army of occupation, and they operate as such. And I am so happy to hear people to raise issues that you're not going to get in the media. These are issues of people who understand and have been fighting this injustice in America, and I'm trying to think of the years of the people who are speaking. We're looking at 300 years of experience fighting these issues with total understanding.
Brother Ralph, you have 90 seconds. You need to round it up.
I will wind it up. And I'd also like to remind people, when we talk of political prisoners, we're talking about people in death camps, because we've heard just a tidbit, a little bit, of the people in jail and the time they served with no medical care. It's a death penalty by the back door of lack of medical care. We have a lot of issues to talk about, and if those of you listening in tonight, you've gotten just a bit of what's out there, and we need people like this. We need this information that you can pass on to others. Get them to tune in next week to hear. I hear the music coming on, and we have so much to say and so little time to do it in. Thanks again, technical staff, for your worries, and thanks, Mary. But I will tune out and hope to see all of you next week.